Flow from your spirit, or where shall I free from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me, the day, even the darkness is not too dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we have just sung that we can't get away from you. And Lord, we rejoice in that. We thank you that you will never leave us or you will never forsake us. Lord, I pray this morning that you will guide us as we talk about growing in you. And Lord, we know that in light of everything we discuss today, we have the assurance that you will never leave us, that you will be right there with us, holding our hands along the way. Thank you for that. I pray for your presence and your power, Lord. I pray that you would speak deeply to each of us, that you would transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, great to be here this morning as we start our inaugural edition of the interactive service. Great to have you here. Now, remember, Pastor David told you one rule, and I appreciate that you all have responded to that. And if you do very well, rule number two is that whenever someone is speaking up here and they ask a question, we don't want to have long, boring, awkward silences. It means we want you to respond, okay? Now, just make sure you don't get too much in the habit of it, because in the second service, when Pastor David asked one of his brilliant oratorical questions and you all yell something out, it might kill the mood. So just remember, this service, yell something out. If it gets out of control, I'll ask you to raise your hand, but don't worry about that. I'd rather it get out of hand than have sheer silence in this. Church world. If you think about it, or if you've been around church world for any length of time, it can become something that you just do because. Now, in some ways, that's good because we are supposed to be around God's people. But there's also something that in life, when we do something over and over and over and we just do it, that after a while you go, wait a minute, why exactly am I doing it? Familiarity can breed complacency. And our prayer is that we would snap out of that complacency, because God has given us something that we need to be doing. The Apostle Peter, writing toward the end of his ministry, starts the book 2 Peter. And you needn't turn there. I'm just going to read this verse to you now. Start 2 Peter by talking about the greatness of the gospel and then some very basic character traits that he wanted the Christians to have in their lives. It was very basic stuff. And I think if you've been a Christian for a long time, you hear this over and over, and you're kind of going, I want to get into the meat. I want to do something real serious. And then Peter says this, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. As we look at growing towards maturity in Christ and what that looks like, some of you will say, man, I've heard this a lot. Well, all of us need reminders of it. We all need to be tracking with this. We all need to be growing towards maturity in Christ. It does mean that we need to have a real direction in life. Now, one thing I do, and believe it or not, pastors do have lives outside of church. I play soccer with 11-year-old kids. Actually, I coach them. Coaching is a great thing to do because you kind of just get to stand around and make them do all the hard work. It's a lot of fun. So can you imagine, though, can you imagine if you have just entrusted, I coach 11-year-old girls, okay? So you have just entrusted your 11-year-old cherub to me as the coach, and you show up at the first practice, and you know, there's a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of excitement, and you kind of have dreams about, hey, this could be a scholarship for my kids, so I hope they learn something, or you're hoping this will keep them off the streets and out of trouble. But imagine if I said something like this, hey, here's a ball, just go out and do whatever you want, have fun, run around. Come on, run around. I know you know how to play. No, I know. You wouldn't feel real good. What if I said, look, I know the other players know what they're doing, but don't you worry about it. Just get out there and run around. Come on, what's the matter? Just run around and do something. Yeah. I know they're scoring lots of goals and we've lost every game, but don't worry. Just run around, do something. Just show up. That's all you need to do. He would not be real happy. And I think, unfortunately, in church world, that can kind of happen to us. We just kind of show up and figure, okay, this will all fall into place. I'll do what I'm supposed to be doing. Every team that wants to enjoy a sport and have any measure of success must have a goal in mind and a game plan to guide them along the way. It's not a fluke when teams win. But when you think about it, a sports team is just playing a game. Put it in perspective, we have a glorious mission that the God of the universe has given us. The God of the universe is writing this incredible story that started before time began. He steps into our world, invites us into his family by showing us love that we'll never be able to measure up to and that we don't deserve. And then he says, I want you to take this message and tell other people. And I want you to live your life in light of this message, and I want you to grow in this message. That's incredible. And so often, though, we can lose sight of that. We can get distracted by things that may not matter as much, or we can just kind of come out of just rote doing it, and we're just like a sports team running around on the field, not quite sure what we're supposed to do. And then we wonder why we run into trouble. The Bible says this in Colossians 1, verse 28, and we've shared this verse with you many times as we've been preparing for this service. But it says this, we proclaim Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae, and he's saying, this is what it's about. This is why I do what I do. I'm not trying to just start some comfortable club. I'm not trying to get this organization that just looks real good and impresses other people. I give my all so that you might grow to maturity in Christ. That's what matters. We want to grow to maturity in Christ. So what's our goal? Christian maturity. What's the game plan or the process? Discipleship. Now, if you've been in church world for any amount of time, these are buzzwords. You hear them lots. So what we want to do today is we want to say, let's take these and let's take them out of the realm of church speak and say, what does this look like when you're at home with your children? What does it look like if you're in a classroom? What does it look like if you're in a job or in your community? This whole Christian maturity, let's take it out of church speak. You know, it's been said that the conversion of the soul is the miracle of a moment, but the manufacture of a saint is the task of a lifetime. The conversion of a soul is a miracle of the moment. When you look to the cross and you call on Jesus to save you, boom, instantaneously. But the manufacture of a saint, a maturing Christian, is a lifetime. The greatest evangelistic tool that we have is disciples. What's a disciple? It's men and women who look, sound, smell like Jesus. It's not techniques or gimmicks. It's about God using his people, growing us into maturity, and using us to share that message with others. Here at Cedar Run, we take very seriously that the mission of our leadership is to help people grow to maturity in Christ. And growing to maturity in Christ is something that starts way back before a person even knows him as Savior, where we want to be introducing him to Christ. And then it comes all the way over to someone who's maybe been a Christian for 50 plus years. There are still steps that we can take closer towards Jesus. We proclaim Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? So that we may present everyone mature in Christ. God bless you. Have a nice day. No, I'm kidding you. Sorry, that snapped you up, didn't it? Now, let's take this out of church. Hey, no applaud now. Come on now. Let's take this out of church speak. And what is Christian maturity? Now, I was told to put this in the middle because the people here on this side were getting a little upset. They said, wait a minute, it's not fair that that side gets the whiteboard. And I thought, boy, this sounds just like church world, didn't it? You know? So, can everyone see it all right? Okay, good. Now, it's a pretty incredible list, isn't it? No, you all are going to help me with this list. Just holler out. When you think of someone who is a mature Christian, what does that look like? What's that?
Giving.
Okay, hold on, whoa, sacrificial. Okay, now I love our youth ministry, but tell Tommy that this youth board was up there before. Okay, so we got giving, we got sacrificial. Boy, I hope our treasurer sees this. This is good, all right? Giving, sacrificial. What else were people saying?
Obedient.
Oh, man. I did test one of these. Okay. Thank you. All right. Okay, we got giving, sacrificial. These are nice, lofty terms right here.
Patient.
Oh, that's a good one. It's eliminated me, but. Willingness to walk by faith. I'm just going to say walk, WB, faith. You all got that, right? Okay.
Loving.
What?
Secure.
Study scripture.
Forgiving.
Humble. What's that?
Teachable.
Ugh. Well, is it going to be a short list?
Prayerful.
What?
Involved.
Gratitude.
Wise.
Good.
Gentle.
Available.
Just.
Thankful.
Trustworthy.
Unwavering. What else? I heard something. This is it? This is easy. Okay, knowledgeable in scripture.
Courageous.
If any of you all are inventors out there, we need someone that will invent long-lasting whiteboard markers. Okay, this is looking pretty achievable right here. That this is it?
Compassionate?
Committed unto death? What's that?
Praising.
Hopeful. I heard that.
Thankful.
I've got that. That's all right. Okay. Community. Well, this is community. Yep. That's good. It's very important, especially for our next service. You're going to be hearing more about that.
Weak in the flesh.
Generous.
This is a lifestyle.
Humble.
It's all right. We need a double dose of humility.
Okay. What else is out there?
Spirit-filled.
Very good. You're running out of ideas.
What? Selfless. Example. What's that? Holy, yes, yeah, sorry, that's a good... Okay, holy. Moral. Oh, you're the man, you're the man. This is maturity right here.
Nice to meet you, Scree.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Okay, keep going. Worshipful. Gracious. Faithful. What else? Servant. That's it? Understanding. Fruit of the Spirit. Coachable. All right. That's good for now. I'm sure you can come up with some others. There's a method to my madness here. Let me give you some more things. What about a mature Christian, someone who has an insatiable desire for God's word? Totally depends on prayer. Not materialistic. Didn't care really about the things of the world. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Recognizes and rejoices in the work of God. I have a list here that someone put together of what they see as a mature person through the gift, through the book of Proverbs, and it's a page and a half. Now, there's a method of my madness. There's a reason I did it like this. Most of us, when we look at a list like this, after about three or four of the traits, I mean, I pretty much gave up right here at patience, okay? When you see a list like this, most of us go, I'll never get there. Why bother? I am just going to go through the motions. I am going to run through the field, run in the field, kind of run around, try to look like I know what I'm doing, but really not have any great hope that I will get to know God deeply and experience what he wants for me in life. The trouble is, when we, lists are good. We need to have some checkpoints. Don't misunderstand me. We need to have some checkpoints. Am I growing in being loving? Am I growing in being able to forgive others? But so often, in our mind, this list of what it takes to be a mature Christian looks just like this. And we say, I don't know that I'm going to get there. And if this is what we think of it, we'll never get there. It becomes cruelly unattainable. But we do have a game plan. And the good news is that God is still at work with us. We have a game plan, and it's known as, many of you all know it, as the Great Command. Jesus, in Mark chapter 12, and you can also see this in Matthew 22. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus said this. He was asked, you know, hey, what is it that really matters the most about this religion, about this law stuff that you do? What's the most important thing? Jesus answered in Mark 12, verse 29, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. See what Jesus said? There are hundreds of commands. And this dude asked him, he said, which is the most important? Now, can you imagine? I mean, I suspect in this list we've got maybe 45, 50 things. And if I asked you to pick the most important one, it would take you a while. Whereas this question that was when it was thrown at Jesus, there was hundreds of things. And Jesus says, let me tell you what cuts through it all. We're to love God with all of our being and to really care about people. Love God with all of your being and care about people. You get that right, all of these will fit into place. You see, our game plan begins with an attitude. Now, when Jesus responded to this question, saying, love God, love people, he's tracking way back to the Old Testament. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, right after the Ten Commandments have been kind of reiterated to the people of Israel, this is what they are told. Moses says, hear, O Israel, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, when we hear this, because again, it's a pretty familiar passage. We hear it over and over again, and we're like, yeah, I've heard that. So it didn't have the full force on us that it would have had to someone 3,000 or 4,000 years ago that heard it for the first time. Because you imagine the culture that they're in. In the Israelites were surrounded by other cultures, and what were their religions? Their religions had umpteen zillion gods. They had and these are gods with a little g, they had gods of fertility, they had gods of war, they had gods of work, they had gods of sport, they had all kinds of different gods. That was the norm. Yet the God of the Bible steps in and says, I am one, I am it, I am God, I am all you need. And everything you do needs to be run through me. You don't need to have a separate God for work. You don't need to have a separate God for play. You don't need to have a separate God for your family. I'm all one. It's all together. When God is saying, I am one, it's integrity, it's wholeness. Likewise, when we choose to love God and love people, it's with every part of our being. It's not something that's split up and you say, well, I'll be loving to people in my life group, or I'll be loving to my family. God says, these character traits of maturity, they cross through everything in your life, through everything. Goal of maturity is men and women who look, sound, and smell like Jesus. It means we got to spend time with him in his word. When you think of every part of our being, you're talking about our head, our heart, our hands, and our feet. But here's the thing. Those in the room here who learn better by book knowledge will immediately think, well, the more you know, the more mature you are. And then you'll get those who are more feeling-oriented will say, yeah, but the more you show love, the better off you're doing. You're both right and you're both wrong. Because we need to be humble enough to say it's about more than me. I am not the standard by which maturity is measured. So if you're one of these people whose book knowledge is off the charts and you can tell people what infralapsarian is and superlapsarianism and all these other theological terms, you've also got to realize that your character needs to be adjusted. And your character needs to reflect what you know. But if you're one of these people that says, well, you know, who cares how much of the Bible you know? You just got to go out there and love people. You've got to have that love guided by what the scripture says. So you've got to grow in knowledge. So whatever it is that you need to grow in, don't just take your strength and try to magnify it. It's with all your being. It's what you know. It's what you do. To look, sound, and smell like Jesus. That's what we want. When our hearts and our minds are transformed by being with Jesus in prayer and in the scripture, and we're maturing in that way, then that's going to mature our behavior. So the important thing is, for our game plan, you don't look at a list like this, because if you really stop and think about it, you're going to end up with hundreds of things, and you'll get depressed. There's just no way I can do this. Where am I even going to start? Our game plan is to say, I want to know Christ better. I want to love him with all of my being. That is going to mean knowledge. I need to get to know his word better. I need to know what he tells me. It's going to mean character. It's going to mean reflecting it to the world around us. It's going to mean doing something about the things that we know. That's the me portion of discipleship. I want to love God. But then there's this other portion others, loving people. You see, a disciple is one who is growing under a teacher, but then also helping others to grow under that teacher. And all of us are called to do that. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:9, "What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Most of us would much rather say, "Do as I say." But as we're maturing, it's "do as I do." It's "follow me as I follow him." It does not mean, if you're going to be discipling and pulling people along, it doesn't mean that you say, "Listen, I've got all 300 of these things down." Or, "Listen, I'm in the 290 club. I've only got 10 more to go that I'm working on." But what you're doing is, "I've spent some time with Jesus, and I want to point you to him." And you know, the amazing thing is, as I point you to him, you're going to do some things that are going to point me to Christ as well. You benefit each other. So our goal as a church is to help people grow to maturity in Christ. That means introducing them to Christ as Savior and helping them to grow in the faith, and so they look, sound, and smell like Jesus. And it means that all of us who say, "Yeah, I'm following Jesus, I mess up along the way," God says, "Don't just think about yourself. Love others as you do love yourself." And that is, pull others along towards Jesus. When we think of discipleship, we can sometimes think of a rigid program or something like that. But really, all we're doing is pointing other people to Christ. We're saying, "Hey, come along with me as we're on this journey together." And that's something that every parent can do at home. It's something that anyone can do with colleagues in the workplace. It's something any of us can do as we go along, as we're with our friends here. We're saying, "Follow me as I follow him." When you are helping others to grow to maturity in Christ, you're not saying, "Hey, I've arrived, now I can help you." But what you're saying is, "This is the direction I'm going in. Let's go on it together." And I want you to think, just imagine if we as a church had this attitude. Every one of us. "I'm pursuing Christ. I want to know him better. Why? Just so I can stuff it up here and keep it up here and impress people with what I know? No. But I'm growing in Christ so that I can think, act, smell, sound just like Jesus. And I want that to rub off on all the people around me." Can you imagine if all of us in this room had that attitude? It would transform our families. We could be used by God to transform our workplaces. It could transform this church. What an incredible adventure it would be if all of us could be a part of seeing this area turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Let's never settle for a church world where we just show up and, "Well, why are you here?" "Well, I'm kind of supposed to be here, aren't I? You know, I'm Christian. Isn't that kind of just what you do?" Well, my soccer players show up on a field because that's what they do and that's what their parents paid money for them to do. But once they got in the field, they've got to know what they're supposed to do. And in the course of the things we do at Cedar Run, and again, no one thing is complete in and of itself. We think you need more than just this interactive service. We think you need more than just a worship service. We think you need more than just a life group. But we think if these are part of the package pouring into your life, giving you input, we believe that this can help you grow to maturity in Christ, to head in the direction that you're supposed to be going in. And if all of us are doing that, great things can happen. And it's an adventure that would be great to be on together. We'd love to be hearing stories as time goes along about how God is growing you and how maybe he's using you to help others to grow in him. Something God has called us to do. Be disciples. Grow to Christian maturity. However you want to phrase it. And over the course of time in this service, our goal is to take specific things. We will go looking at this list, not to give you the burden of a list, but some of these things. How can you be more prayerful? How can you grow in courage? How can you grow in Bible knowledge? We don't want to just teach the Bible. We want to say, "Hey, here's how you can pick up the Bible. Here's how you can have an understanding." We want to equip you We want to teach you how to fish, not just give you a fish. That's what we want. It's going to be a great adventure. We're looking forward to us doing it together as a church and to seeing this grow. But just imagine if all of us are growing to Christian maturity, loving God, loving people, it'll transform the world around us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you want to grow us and that, Lord, you will give us everything that we need. I pray that you would fix our hearts, tune our minds to you. Lord, give us a real hunger to grow in you, not so that we can just accumulate knowledge, but that the more we know you, the more we'll love you, the more we'll respect you, the more we'll call on you in prayer, the more we see how great you are, the more you won't be able to keep us quiet. We'll be telling everyone around us about Jesus. Lord, let us be that kind of church. Use us to encourage and strengthen one another. Draw us to Christian maturity, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We're encouraged.